Let's go back a week then. Last Sunday morning, we were in chapter 4 of the epistle that we've read from so far this morning, Philippians chapter 4. And we looked at one verse last Sunday morning, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you." Now, a lot has happened, I guess, since last Sunday. So let me just remind you what we thought about last Sunday morning. The background for this verse is Paul's desire for the Christians at Philippi to stand fast in the Lord. There are all sorts of pressures that Christians face. There are pressures that congregations are under. So Paul's desire here is to teach this church how to stand fast. And we saw last Sunday, and we've seen before, that chapter 4 has 5 steps, which if we take on board, we'll be helped to stand fast. So last Sunday morning, we focused on verse 9, and the background to verse 9 is the event which is the formation of the church at Philippi. From Acts chapter 16, you've got Paul and Silas in prison. They have been beaten, and it's midnight. And at midnight, with Paul and Silas in the most secure cell, with their feet fastened in stocks, they are singing hymns and praising God. Now, that's the event that Paul is calling this church to mind in verse 9. So read the verse again. "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do." So with that background then, Paul is saying, what you saw me doing, singing hymns, praising God, at midnight, in prison, having been beaten, what you saw in me, do those things. So last Sunday, we asked the question, how did Paul get to the point where he could be in prison, be treated so badly, and sing hymns and offer thanks to God? And the answer is hidden in verse 9. The answer is that Paul developed good habits. During the ordinary days of his Christian life, the everydays that he lived, he developed certain good habits. And those good habits stood him in good stead for the midnights and the darkness and the torture that he would experience as an apostle. So what Paul is saying in verse 9 is he wants the church at Philippi to imitate him in those good habits, to start building for themselves the same habits. Should they do that, then when the midnight comes and the darkness falls, those habits will carry and uphold the people of Philippi. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to take a look at habits that Paul shows us and teaches us in chapter 3 of this epistle. So we've got a bit of a task this morning. I'm going to show you 6 habits that Paul has developed in his Christian life. And what I'm going to urge us to do is either to say to ourselves, in this new year, I'll take one of these habits and seek to own it for myself. Or, if we are more ambitious, accepting of your weaknesses, accepting of your experiences, seek to develop the habit of knowing yourself and being at peace with yourself. What's very clear from verses 5 and 6 is that the Apostle Paul knew himself. And not just in chapter 3, but you remember in this epistle as a whole, when you turn to 1 Corinthians, it's exactly the same. Paul will say things like, I know nothing against myself. I do not judge myself. I do not condemn myself. I don't find fault with myself. Now, he had every reason to, didn't he? But he's developed the habit of being at peace with himself. If you cannot be at peace with yourself, then you cannot be at peace with other people. You will be critical and judgmental and fault-finding of other people. And it all flows from an inability to be at peace with yourself. So there's the first habit that I'd like us to develop. Know yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses, the dangers that might lurk in your own heart, but be at peace with yourself. Now, do you see the next lesson? Verses 7 and 8 of chapter 3. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, this language is the language of accountancy. If you like, it may not be a helpful illustration, but just think of Ebenezer Scrooge in his office, counting up his money, making calculations about how much he's got coming in and how much he's got going out. What Paul has developed is the habit of making a daily calculation. Now, I'm absolutely no good at finances. I never look at the bank balance. But we all know, don't we, that we need to make a calculation. So I want you to make a calculation every day. Every day, ask yourself the question, what is really important? Out of all that I've gone through, and everything that I'm carrying, and all that I'm struggling with today, what really matters? Because we carry things from day to day that don't really matter, that are not really going to last, that are not of enduring significance or importance. So the Apostle Paul made this calculation. What once mattered to me, does it really matter now in the light of Christ and who he is and what he's done? All those things I get so het up about, that I used to give so much time to, that I put so much effort into, do they really matter in the light of who Christ is and what he has done? So he's made that daily calculation of what really is important. So I want to encourage you to do the same. We get upset about things that will be forgotten about in a month's time, in a year's time. We get upset about things that in the light of eternity are of no significance at all. We worry about things. We start anticipating things. We feel the pressure of things that ultimately are insignificant. So let's make this daily calculation. What is really important? And I wouldn't use the words to me. I want you to be more objective. What is really important? What really matters? This is verses 7 and 8. So the two habits so far. Know yourself, Be at peace with yourself. And then every day ask the question, what really matters in terms of my personal life, in terms of my work life, in terms of my family life, in terms of church life? What is really important? That's the second habit that I want you to become aware of. Let me show you the third. And the third is in verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, I'm going to take the idea here of forgetting, because the end of the verse we'll see a little bit more of in a minute. The third habit to develop is to let go of yesterday. Don't hold on to yesterday. Now, we all do it, and in our conversations we do it, and we talk about what somebody did yesterday, what somebody should have done yesterday, how terrible that they did this yesterday, and then we hold on to what I have done or didn't do yesterday. And I want us to develop the habit of forgetting or letting go of yesterday. Because we have an example of this in God. We sang 86, Great is Your Faithfulness. And how does the hymn go, do you remember? Morning by morning, new mercies I see. We have a God who deals with us on the basis of the morning. God doesn't deal with us on the basis of yesterday. So when a new day begins, we don't have a God who says, now look, Neil, yesterday you failed to do something. Or yesterday you said something. Or you felt something. Or you didn't pray. And so God says, Neil, I'm not going to deal with you today unless you put yesterday at the front of your mind. God begins each day with us as a new day with new covenantal mercies, new faithfulness, new grace. So don't carry over into today what belongs to yesterday. Just carry on this idea now of accountancy. And again, I confess my ignorance. I've no idea at all, but apparently the word verse from verse 13 is to carry over from one column of accounting into another. And accountants apparently carry over a balance from one year to the next, or they carry over a balance from one week to the next. David has done this in our AGM. He carries over a balance from one year to the new year. Paul says, don't carry over from one day to the next day. Whatever feelings may be there, whatever thoughts may be there, whatever mistakes may be true of you, don't carry them over from the column of yesterday into the column of today. These three habits belong together. These three habits, if you like, can be thought of as thinking habits. So I need to know myself. I need to be aware of my strengths and weaknesses. I need to ask this question. I'm in my thoughts. What really matters? And then the third habit, this third thinking habit, is don't carry over from one column into another column, the yesterdays into today's. So do you see then there are three thinking habits? Let's build these three thinking habits into our lives as Christians. Now the next three are doing habits. And I want to go to The first of them is in Philippians chapter 4, and it's a verse that you're very familiar with. It's always a verse that's difficult to read because it's so repetitive. You don't need to read the whole verse to get the idea. Finally, brethren, whatever things are, and here's the list, you can see it for yourself, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, anything of any virtue, anything that's got something to commend it, and here's the habit I want you to develop, it's the habit of meditation. I would like myself, every day to meditate. Now, what we mean by this is to choose a subject to think about, anything that is good. So, has there been anything good in your day? Has there been anything in your day that is pure or praiseworthy or commendable? Take that thing out of that day and spend a few moments thinking about it, appreciating it, letting your thoughts dwell on that good thing that you have known in that day. Because our brains are designed to focus on the negative, aren't they? Now, how many times have we said this? And how many times in your own experience do you know this to be true? So one bad thing happens, and that's the thing that you're dwelling on that particular day. And you want to talk about it. You want to tell somebody how awful it is. When you get home or when you meet a friend, it's the first thing on your lips. You say, guess what? This terrible thing, this awful person, this terrible customer, this awful kid in the class, my terrible colleague who went and said this to me, and we just want to lay it all out there, this terrible thing that's happened to us. It's the habit that we've all developed. We focus in on and we dwell on anything that is negative. So here's Paul's great antidote in verse 8. Take the time, make the effort to choose from your day anything that has been good. And here's the list for you. It's in verse 8. Anything that is pure, noble, praiseworthy, commendable, whatever the word is, select that from your day and just spend a moment of appreciation of that good thing. Now, those of you who are interested may want to know that chapter 4, verse 8 isn't a particularly Christian idea. The Apostle Paul, as he told us in chapter 3, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he was of the tribe of Benjamin, he was taught by Gamaliel. Paul knew his philosophy. And verse 8 has the background of all the Greek philosophies. What's good about life? How can you live the good life? How can you be a good person? What's life about? Now here's Paul in verse 8 saying, the good person, the good life, the ultimate human good is to value and appreciate anything that is noble or pure, to dwell on that, to fill your mind with that, to appreciate that every single day. So which of these habits then is appealing to you? Knowing yourself, so important that you know yourself. The habit, perhaps, of making this calculation every day, what really matters? What's really significant? Is it the idea of not carrying over from the column of yesterday into today, or this idea here of meditation? Well, let me give you two more. And you can see it at the end of verse 13, and it goes into verse 14. And what this habit is, it's the habit of reminding yourself every day of what your future is. We all tend to think about the past more than we do about the future. Just like our brains focus in on the negatives, so our brains are focused backwards. So Christmas time, when our families meet up, what do we talk about? The past. We've done it as a family this year. We put a video on of a holiday from 2007. It seems to be that the past has some pull over us. And our thoughts seem to go back to that past without any effort. And we also seem to go back to our own pasts and to keep revisiting our own past experiences. As you know, and I'm being very grateful to you for your support, my father passed away last month. And as a family, we've done so much talking about the past. Why were things like that? Why did we do this? Why did we go there? And the past seems to have so much power in our lives. So here's Paul now saying, develop the habit of reminding yourself of what your future is. Don't let a day go by when you haven't reminded yourself of what your future holds. And look at how he puts that future. It's a very vivid picture, isn't it? Verse 13, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul has shifted his background picture. It's not accountancy now. Obviously, as you can see, it's the athlete. And what Paul is saying, what motivates the athlete is not finishing the race. This picture is of the race complete, and then the call from the host of the games. So as you know, in ancient Greece, they'd have the Olympic Games, and the games would be hosted by a citizen of some importance. So some rich man would lay on the games, pay for it all, and then he would call the winner of the race to go up into the crowd and to receive from this host the victory laurel. The upward call, and you used to see it, I don't know if you still do, but you used to see it after a cup final, when the winning team would go up into the crowds and would go to where the queen or some important person is standing and receive the cup in the stands. Now that's the idea here. Our future, God is going to call you and me up into the stands, to the glories of heaven. God will call us up and he will give us the prize, the eternal inheritance that he has been keeping for us, which is undefiled, which cannot fade away. Peter talks about it in his first chapter. That's the future for you and me. Your name, voiced by God, calling you into the stands of glory to receive the heavenly prize. Now, don't let a day go by where you don't remind yourself that this is your future. This is why God has saved you. This is why God has sent his son for you. Why Christ died for you. Why he was raised from the dead for you. So that you might have this future glory described in this way. So every day, remind yourself of this future. And here's the last habit, perhaps in many ways the most important of all. Take the word goal out of verse 14 and add that word to verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. Paul has set himself a goal. Now, increasingly, I'm convinced that it's important for human beings, not just Christians, to have goals. There is something that you're working towards. Now, that idea is understood, isn't it? It's understood in terms of general human behavior. What have you noticed on your TV screens now? Straight after Christmas, what starts? And it's all those adverts for dieting. People want a goal, something to work towards. And then you get all these products being advertised to try and get you to make that goal for yourself. Well, let's have a better goal, shall we? Let's have the goal that the Apostle Paul set himself. So, verse 8. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, and here it goes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. What's this goal? This is the goal of knowing Christ better. And if we can set that goal for this new year, that as an individual Christian, I want to know Christ better. And I want to know Christ in my experience, so that if it's suffering, I want to know him through that experience. If it's all sunshine and uplands, I want to know him in that way, that I may know him. That's the goal that Paul has here in chapter 3. Can I encourage you to have that goal for yourself? And may we have it as a congregation. And Paul spells it out, doesn't he? He describes it in all its intricacies, what it is to have that goal of knowing Christ. Sufferings, the cross, the resurrection, the future glory. In all these ways, we can know Jesus Christ better. And we can know him better together through experience of his glory. Set yourself something to work towards. Because again, if we have a goal, then that thought will lead to feeling, and that feeling will lead to action. And together then, there can be this building up in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, 6 habits. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I don't know. What do you think? If we can take one of them? If by the grace of God, we can put 1, 2 into action? So, bear with me as I remind you of them. The first 3 goals, they are all in the realm of thinking. Know yourself. Ask yourself that question. Make that daily calculation. What really matters? What's truly important? And the third one, don't carry over from yesterday what should stay with yesterday. 3 thinking goals, and then 3 action goals or doing goals. Meditation, choosing anything that's good, then reminding yourself every day of your future and then this goal of knowing Christ. Now, to encourage us with these habits, finish with verse 9 of chapter 4. And the God of peace will be with you. You can see, can't you, that peace is what he's talking about in verse 7. And he's talking about peace in verse 9. There's a slight difference between the two. What he means in verse 9 is that God approves. If we seek to build in this way, then this is something that is pleasing to God. And God will seek to give his grace and his help to us as we do so. Practicing these habits will build Christian character, and then Christian character will help us stand in good stead for the midnights and the prison sentences and all that lies ahead in the year to come. Well, let's pray, shall we?